Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Folks, we're in unity and we believe that statement, right? That we are love and that that is the new paradigm for humanity. It's been pushed forward like glimpses in the dark over the millennia by great masters who taught us that we are love, like Jesus, the Buddha, and then we fall back into the old ways of thinking, you know, into the tribal consciousness, into dualisms, where we forget that we are love. But we are in the conscious evolution business. That's what it's about, is evolving into this new awareness of what's possible for us, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Often we know we're love up here, yeah? It's just taking it down to here that's the hard bit. You know, I know, yeah, that's the truth of me. But then living it every day, embodying it in the heart and in the activity of our lives, that's where it gets a little tough. And unfortunately, for the last 500 years or so, we've been living in a mechanistic universe that has focused almost exclusively on the outer, you know, on what the senses can bring us, on what we can do with industrial resources. Nothing wrong with that. It's created an amazing society. But the downside of it is we see things in mechanistic terms. We see things in resources to be exploited, to developed, that are of the physical earth, rather than understanding that there's something much more wondrous, and that's the spiritual dimension of things, right? And the thing that quantum physics, the things that the mystics are teaching us, is they're not two separate things, right? When we truly understand God's universe, we understand that they are one, that we are both a particle and a wave dancing in the light of infinite possibility. And different people have described it in different ways, you know. Now it's become popular to talk about the Akashic Field, you know, the Akashic Field of infinite intelligence and storehouse of all knowledge. That's an ancient idea that goes back thousands of years in ancient India. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin talked about the noosphere, which he described as the same idea, this cosmic resource, this matrix out of which everything comes. Quantum physics talks about the quantum field, right? The field of infinite possibility and energy. We now know the universe is made up of divine ethers, is what Charles Fillmore called it. In modern science, they talk about dark energy. Well, they're saying that the physical stuff in the universe is just like 1%. The rest of it's this dark matter and dark energy, which we have no clue as to what it is. But I do, don't you? We know what it is. It's that infinite possibility of God, right? And when we begin to align with that, when we begin to attune to that in our consciousness, in that awareness, everything changes. Barbara Marx Hubbard said this. She said, and I love this quote, she's a great futurist who's talked about these ideas. In fact, she wrote a book called Conscious Evolution. She said that evolution creates beauty, and only beauty endures. Evolution creates beauty, and only beauty endures. Well, she's not talking about the beauty of the outer. She's talking about the beauty of being real, like the Velveteen Rabbit becoming real, yeah? And it's beautiful because we are what? Authentic. We are real. We are doing what is ours to do, and that's always beautiful, yeah? We're in our sweet spot. That's what it means. And I believe that all parts of creation, all parts of God's universe are beautiful in their own way. Even those strange little critters at the bottom of the sea. Even the bugs in your back garden right now. There's a beauty to them because they are part of God's divine order, yes? And so in each and unique way, we are also beautiful. Yeah, can you say that to yourself right now? That I am beautiful? I am beautiful. I'm a beautiful person, right? I have inherent beauty. And we do things very graciously when we're in that awareness of my divine order. I shared last week about an amazing guy called Dean Potter. He died climbing on the mountains, and he dived off cliffs with a bat suit on. But he did, I guess, a fall too far or whatever. But he was doing his rightful thing, and it was beautiful, right? And it's this week I saw this guy in India. He's called the Monkey Man of India. Anybody seen that on Facebook? He can climb these tall buildings in like 30 seconds, and he's not hugely muscled. He's not using the forces of the world, of the earth, he's using the energy of spirit, right? And so he just climbs up effortlessly. One point he just flips over and his head's facing down and all this. How does he do that? Well, he does it because he's not conditioned to the old dualisms of what's possible from the physical and the senses. He's attuned, I believe, to what's possible in his consciousness, right? And because he believes it's possible, it is. Now, I'm not going to put that to the test myself. I am not called upon to climb high buildings. But I am called upon to do what is mine to do, right? And when I'm in the harmony of my own consciousness, what's mine to do, then I also have infinite possibility to do what is mine to do. To move from that old mechanical way of thinking, you know, where there's limited options, to open into a vast storehouse of possibility. Richard Dawkins, and this is how things are crazy these days, that things are happening in ways we couldn't have imagined. Richard Dawkins, anybody heard of him? He wrote a book called The Selfish Gene, and he's one of the new atheists, doesn't believe in God, but he came up with this word, meme, which is equivalent to like DNA or genes. Just like you've got physical genes, so you've got spiritual or mental memes, and they're kind of pockets or ideas that float around from one to the other. Have you ever noticed this? When it's fashionable to wear a certain kind of shoe, everybody's wearing them. And it's not because they're necessarily just selling them in the store, but you know what the latest one is, right? How did you know? You may not even watch the television. You knew because it was in the field, right? Everybody does fashions in that way because it's like a wave over the universe. Well, it's the same spiritually. Things are connected, right? These memes go out there. We begin to tune in. So the important thing is, what kind of meme are you creating? What kind of mental field of consciousness are you creating? Because if we're in the old dualistic ways of it's awful, it's not going to work out, then I create more of that, right? But if I'm in the field of infinite possibility, this is going to be a wondrous day, for instance, then I begin to also create that. We were lying in bed yesterday. We just woken up, and we were thinking about, well, what are we going to do with our lives, you know, Wendy and I? What's going to happen? You know, life's good, but, you know, I wonder what's going to happen in the future, et cetera. You know, you do these things sometimes, take stock. And all of a sudden, just outside our window, this hummingbird came and started to drink from the honeysuckle. And we thought, wow, that's a message. Wow, there's a beautiful hummingbird right there. And Wendy said, let's look it up. Let's look up the metaphysical significance of this power animal. And so we looked up hummingbird. And hummingbird is a light being. It's a being of infinite possibility. Said a hummingbird can fly backwards. It's the only creature that can fly backwards. And it only weighs like a 1/16 of an ounce, and yet it's one of the most powerful creatures on the planet. And it has infinite capacity, and it does it with effortless ease. So the message is, don't worry about the future. Just relax and do everything with ease and grace, and know you can fly backwards. But I love that, because so often, see, the universe will bring us information, right? The Akashic field, the new sphere will bring us information at the right and perfect time. It's up to us then to interpret it. We could say, oh, well, that's a nice little hummingbird. You know, forget about it. But it could be a message. And for us yesterday, it was definitely a message of living from that possibility. How did Jesus walk on water? How did he do it? He knew he could. Did he have that consciousness of infinite possibility that nothing's going to stop me? Or did he take himself lightly? He took himself lightly so he could walk on water. See, so often we take ourselves so darn heavy, don't we? We are weighted down with all the problems of this world, all the problems of our lives. No wonder we can't walk on water. We can't be like the hummingbirds. But when Jesus knew that that was possible, because he took himself with a light-hearted, buoyant spirit, he was able to do miraculous things. And we know that if one person on this planet at any given time could do something, then it's a possibility for all of us. I'm not going to put it to the test either. not going to go walking out on Eagle Mountain Lake tomorrow. But that's not the point. The point is, what is mine to do? I will be able to walk on that difficulty. I will be able to walk on that apparent impossibility, and all will flow very, very beautifully. But I love the idea that it's an atheist that came up with this idea, because, see, when we understand that we're all one, then everything is useful, isn't it? There is no separation between the spiritual world and the real world. And there used to be for me, you know, when I first started teaching back in the years and years ago, I was taught for a number of years in high school, and there was two lives that I lived. There was the horrible world of teaching, you know. All those nasty kids, which I didn't have to do it, but I got to earn a living, you know. And then there was my beautiful life, my life of meditation and cloud nine and chanting and om and all this. And I wanted to get away from the nasty world so that I could be in the beautiful world, you know. And then when I was so high in the beautiful world, I didn't want to go back. And guess what? Because I hated this world, guess how nice the kids were. Oh, my goodness. The kids were abominable, right? Because I didn't bring any love. My beauty and my love was over there. So my work in all my teaching years was to integrate the two together. The miracle that I found was when I changed my attitude towards my working world, the kids changed. Now, how did they do that? They didn't change. I did. And when I'd learned my lesson, that's when I was finally released from having to be a teacher and I did something else. But I think we keep doing the same things until we learn, right? We learn it's all about integration. It's not about trying to bliss out. See, I wanted to escape so much into the Himalayas or into a perfect job, you know. No such thing, is there? There's an integration through the graceful harmony of infinite possibility, right? To find the juice and the joy and the sweetness in everything that's ours to do. Because that was my duty, that was my dharma at that point, to be that teacher. Not to hide away from it, but to integrate it and fully understand it, to have that synergy. One thing Barbara Marx Hubbard says also is that she's encouraged about what's happening in modern science and modern understanding in terms of the social network of the internet, right? Because it is a wonderful democratic process. Before, if you wanted to get your voice out, you could write a letter to the editor and maybe or maybe not get it published, or you could try and be outrageous so somebody'd pay attention to you and get some publicity. Now all you have to do is type in something and send it out into cyberspace, right? You get your message out there. Now we can use the Facebook and internet for superficial purposes. You know, we can waste energy on it in that way. But it's also, she says, a wonderful opportunity to bring your message to the world, right? Every person has that possibility, that opportunity that didn't exist 15 years ago. Take my radio show and everything that happens on Unity Online Radio. Couldn't have been done just a few years ago. I'm here in Fort Worth. My guest is thousands of miles away. The engineer's in Kansas City. We all get together in cyberspace and create a show, right? And then my ideas can be spread, and I can become famous. No, it's not about becoming famous. It's about being empowered, isn't it? It's about making a difference, right? Taking your rightful place. Whole revolutions have happened as a result of this, yeah? Now, we may say, well, I can't make a difference. You know, the powers that be are so powerful. This money rules, might is right. It's still the old way of thinking. Is that true? I don't think so, because I don't think real change ever happened in a macro sense. Real change always happens in a micro sense. Jesus, for instance, was unknown to the Romans, and they ruled at that time. When they found out about him, what did they do in short order? Killed him. And then as far as they were concerned, it was over, right? He wasn't known. He doesn't even enter into any of their history books. He's a non-entity. And yet now here we are 2,000 years later. Who cares about the Romans? But we're talking about Jesus all the time because his idea was micro idea, but it was so powerful. It was about love. It was about possibility that it spread like wildfire. So give yourself comfort in that regard, right? It's not about changing the world by becoming president or becoming a power broker. It's by changing the world by determining to hold a different thought, to shift consciousness from the old dualisms, from not being able to do something, to, yes, I can. 500 years ago, Martin Luther wrote those theses he stuck on the door, the beginning of the Protestant Revolution. And one of his key phrases was, every man a priest. Now imagine how radical that was back in the day when there was only the Catholic Church and the Catholics had a lockdown on priests, right? You were ordained as a priest and that was the one that mediated between you and God. So Luther's saying, every man a priest. Whoa! So no wonder that broke everything open. Well, let's bring that up to date. Today we could say every person, because we don't want to get into man, do we? It's not just about men. It's all of us now. Every person a change agent, right? Every person has the capability of shifting consciousness on this planet. That means you and me, right? It's powerful stuff, isn't it? Conscious evolution, one person, one thought, one idea at a time. Now, if that monkey man in India can climb up those walls and impress me, see, I like that, because he encourages me to do impossible things myself, to shift my focus, to know that the divine order of the universe and the divine ideas of the Akashic field are here for each of us, yeah? Available to be utilized. Now, at the 9:30 service, we came up with five things we can do to shift from old dualisms to new ways. Practical things you can do this week. So let's see what we can do. We got five things. Okay, be open to love and be loved, right? Be an open person. Not resistant, not shut down in some way. No matter how many nasty things have happened to us that create shells around us, dare to open, okay? To give it and receive it. Excellent. That's one. That's good. Hold that thought. Show up. As your whole and imperfect self. Right. Just show up. Right? Warts and all. Here I am. I'm worthy to be here. Yeah, to show up. Folks, we showed up this morning. That's a great step, isn't it? We showed up in a place that talks about this stuff. That's exciting. We showed up in a place where we're not being judged or in any way made less of. In fact, we're encouraged in our imperfections. Now, that's different. Usually, you're a miserable. Yeah. Miserable sinner. No, our imperfections are often the things that guide us most faithfully into the beauty of who we truly are. Yeah. So rather than them being demonized, they are actually helpful for us. I think it was Sri Nagasadatta Maharaj. He says, all you need to do is notice the obstacles in your way. Really notice them, and that'll free you. Because so often we don't want to look at it. You know, we want to deny it. But if we can truly look at it with honesty and openness, wow. And that's the key. That's number one. That's one of the five. That is notice. Notice where your attention goes. Notice where you're putting your energy. Because if you're putting your energy on the old paradigm, you can begin to fast from it and feast on the new paradigm. You cannot shift your attitude if you don't know what your attitude is, right? You've got to be able to look, be willing to be aware and look. So that's three. We've got two more. Be the peace you want to be. Model it, right? Live from that consciousness, no matter what is going on. Because deep within us is that stillness, that silence, out of which everything flows. Somebody earlier said, I've read all these books on the Akashic Field, and they tell me to contact my guides and ask questions and say prayers, and I still can't get there. I said, forget about all that. That's somebody else's guide. That's somebody else's way in. You have to follow your way in, right? You have to trust your own instincts, what's real for you. A prayer for somebody else might work great for them, but it won't work for you. You have to trust your own inner knowledge. And be open to everything that teaches this, because it can be as simple as a hummingbird. It can be as simple as a monkey man in India. If I'm open and receptive, I can learn from anything. Yeah? It can be a roof flying off. All things work together for good for those that remember that we live in an infinitely possible universe. Somebody said one over here and we put it on hold. What was it again? Yeah, there we go. We're going to enfold that into that one. So I've got one more to come up with. Yeah, that's right. That's number four. Sorry. Got one more. But I agree with you. Huh? Forgive all shortcomings. That's the similar as accept the imperfections. And I love it, but it's still one short of getting us out of here. I'm tough, man. Beware of what? Be where your hands are. Yes. That's the micro thing, isn't it? Yes. Do what is ours to do. It's the same with me, my teaching. You know, instead of wanting to escape into bliss, be where I was supposed to be at that given time, right? And integrate, bring my bliss, bring my spiritual awareness into that place. It's the last place we look, because so often the love that we are is hidden. And where's it hidden? Right under your nose, right under the very things that are ours to do. So that's a wonderful thing. Do something. Notice where your hands are, yeah, because that's your activity, isn't it? That's how you bring this message of beauty out into the world on any given day. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.